The boar's head comes a-waddling. It's filled with ale and cream. And I shall dine upon its face and drink its eggy brains. Oh, Hank and Bus, the omnibus of cloves and rosemary. The humming herald, what so mime, is the finest in the land. Oh, eve of Christmas, twice on, on Christmas eaten joy, if Ball were down to bow his head and roasted ginger off. A wassailing, a boar's head dish, and mold of cranberry, and raise thy cup, des omniprop, in bold and humble cry. Oh,
that one gets
That's
me.
That's an emotional one.
Oh, friends, it's Christmas Eve. What a special time. And you have to whisper, because Christmas and Christmas Eve is like golf. So for some reason, even though they can't hear you down on the golf course, you want to keep your voice a bit low. Here he comes. He's opening the presents. He's going for it under the tree. What's he got? He opened it up. I don't know what it is. You wear it around your neck when you sleep on a plane, Pop-Pop. All right. See, you don't know what you're going to get. Oh, my friends. So don't yell. That's all I'm saying. There's lots of holidays where it's appropriate. Lots of screaming holidays, but this you got to whisper because the tree might hear you. There is nothing that I remember more vividly from Christmases as a child than the smells. And the smells are just really one smell, and that is pine, like pine tar, like pine, and I'm addicted to it. And I could get hooked on it, say, oh, I got a terrible pine tar creosote habit. Please help me, I've been eating it. You can't eat it. Well, Yul Gibbons used to say in the 70s, he'd say, hey, here's a pine tree. Did you know you could eat it? Well, we chopped it up and made a cereal out of it. No, you're lying. It's a wheat cereal or something. Okay, whatever. Go away. Stop looking. But I do like the smell of pine, and you can put it in anything, and I'll be attracted to it. Maybe not a snack cracker. I haven't really thought it through. It's a little bitter on the tongue. But the smell is magical. It makes you think you're in the forest. But really what you've done is you've murdered one of the tree people and you've dragged it inside and you're going to decorate it. What if that is a person? What if they, instead of being employed as Santa Claus helpers on Christmas, old, fat, bearded white men with big white beards, people harvested this. Oh, I'm going to grab one now to bring in my house on Christmas and decorate it, and I'm going to hang glass globes from its ears. And then he dries out. And so people just have old bearded mummies hanging in their house with decorations on them. That's not Christmas. So we use trees instead, but oh my goodness, should the tree have to pay with its life? Maybe we could take this whole thing outdoors, and I'm just going to scratch it like it's scratch and sniff, get that smell, instead of having what you smell is its blood. Because we've cut it off at the stump and we stuck it in a chemical. My grandfather would do this. We'd go get a fresh tree and I'm going to stick it in something, keep it alive, keep the needles are poisonous to the carpet. So we need to keep them off. And the minute one needle drops, so help me, I'm going to burn everything down. So that was really important that we kept the tree fresh and the smell going. And I felt this was a lot of pressure. So do we really need this? And even I can't even really see the tree. My grandmother decorated it with all sorts of things. She'd tie a red bow on the end of every branch. Trees have a lot of branches, and that's a lot of bows. And then she'd put silver garland, which is like, what is that? Silver garland, it's one of the But it doesn't occur in nature, really. I don't know what it's supposed to be, even. Snow? Snow rope? Ice rope? It doesn't, I don't know what it is. And drape that. And then all these ornaments, different ones from different, say, Hummel or something, 1971. I don't know what the significance of that is. And then all the sorts of colored ones. And then you couldn't see the tree. You couldn't see it at all. It was completely, it didn't matter what was, it could have been cardboard under there. It didn't matter that it was a tree. And the tree's thinking, this is ridiculous. They could have used anything. I could have kept growing. Granted, I'm not an interesting creature who can walk around and everything, like Frosty the Snowman, which isn't even anything. It's just sculpted snow. There's no water boy. I'm made entirely of water. I'm going to come and give joy. No, don't want that. Or even made of ice is scary, as Doctor Who has shown us in its beautiful storytelling. But the tree is still the center of my Christmas world. And it doesn't really matter what religion y'all are to, because they say, oh, the tree is the pagan part. Really? Yes, that's all the pagan part of Christmas, dragging a tree inside. All right. Is there any kind of pagan bookstore I can go to, get more stuff, smells like pine? Yeah. They don't really have, I'm sure they have pagan bookstores, but not like they have other religions. They say, oh, you go in any mall, and you go, oh, a Zoroastrian bookstore or whatever. See, if you need a mug that says your religion on it, say, I like to, the best way to demonstrate my beliefs is have it on a coffee mug or something. I can show people I don't have to behave in a certain way. I can just hold up the mug and go, look, this says it all. I don't have to say it anymore. But I don't know what my, if you just observed me on Christmas, what would you see? Just me staring at a tree and sniffing like that. I can't get enough of it. Now, when my grandfather died, my grandmother lost the spirit of Christmas. When he died, it was just like we didn't, you know, we got rid of his body, unlike my Christmas mummy idea, which nobody's going to go for. But it would be fun if you volunteered for it. So I would like my remains to be dried out. I'd want to grow a big white beard and be a mummy, Santa mummy that you hang in your, to remember the holiday. I mean, that's a lot more people-centered than a tree anyway. That's nature worship. So if you also, if you're going to worship something, don't kill it. That thing's like the first thing. Bring it cookies. Don't murder it. And I'm not saying cutting down trees is murder. I know that we need them for houses, and I wouldn't want to have a house made of stacked up people. No, no, no. No mummy log cabin for me. Think about it, though. As an art piece, it'd be neat. Way to say, people are building materials. That's very profound. But the tree, the live tree, that was my grandfather's thing. So my grandmother abandoned the practice after he died, and we didn't have it anymore. Now, this wasn't crazy to me, because I identified it with my grandfather, too. He was the one who went tree shopping. He's the one who had to have a perfect tree, even though there is no such thing as a perfect tree. And then my grandmother would adorn it to make it even more perfect. They were both striving for a perfection that couldn't be achieved. Now, my great-grandmother never had a real tree. We would go to her house. She lived in a time machine. And it was a very old house, like a 20s house. And everything in it was from the teens. And she never had a real tree because she thought, well, I'm not dragging something dead in the house. Like, that's awful. And get a mess everywhere. Because her house was very sterile, except for a chemical smell. But she always had an artificial tree. And in my memory, it's an artificial tree made of tin. And I know I'm not remembering it correctly, because if I'm remembering it correctly, it's made of cut-out tin that's very sharp, like razor sharp. And if you got near it, it would just slice you open. Because it was from the teens, when they don't care. They didn't care. All the things were fans. Why put a front on a fan? It's a whirling metal blade. People get the idea. I don't know. You better protect it. You could walk into it. Walk into it? See, they didn't think that way. So don't put your hand on the cutty thing. This was the motto back then. So maybe I'm misremembering that, but everything in my grandmother's, great-grandmother's house was dangerous like that. Nothing had covers on it or anything. It's just open you right up to the consequences of things. Oh, that tree defending itself. like Mad Max, say, I'm not going to go down without a fight. You're going to have to chain me, chain that tree to the wall. I'm alive. If it was like one of those Ents or anything from Hobbit Land, it would be mad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I see, when I see them, though, I see the ones from H.R. Puff and stuff, the talking trees. Get out of here, like that. Funny mouths on them. Trees have funny mouths. They're not really a mouth. It's a hole in the tree, and the tree is dying. So the tree doesn't get a mouth until it's about to die. And that's when it gets its loudest voice, and it says, look at me, noble. Do they stick them back in the ground now when they get the really tall one they bring to New York? Do they somehow, they say, we're going to replant it. Is that a lie, like saying, oh, it took the dog to a farm or something? They're really going to put it back. Do people care about trees? Is it all right? Say, Hardy, you don't even care about cows. You care about trees. You say, I don't know. I fall in love with funny little things. And really, it's just a smell. It's not noble or anything. I may love something for the wrong reason. Don't hurt the tree. I want to lick the tree. So you don't know why somebody wants to preserve something. It could be for their own purposes. But Christmas, that's a time of when you're going to share something. Say, you know what? I want to be a giver. I want to give things to people. Like Santa, that's why Santa's so magical to us. I want to be that. I want to be the giver of gifts. Now, I was always confused because I understood that Kris Kringle, that's what they call him in Miracle on 34th Street. I don't know if you've seen this movie. There's a couple versions of it. But a man with a beard thinks he's Santa and thinks he's Kris Kringle. Now, this is more important. I'll get back to that why. And he goes to a department store and they hire him. I don't know how, I forget the beginning of the movie, how this goes about. I guess because he has his own beard. Oh, and the previous one's a drunk. That's it. So if you want a job, get the person who has it now drunk. And then you can get, and you walk in, I have my own beard, or my own car, or whatever. I have my own record pressing machine, so I can do this job. All right, well, you're hired. So he comes in, and he says, my name is actually Kris Kringle. And, well, now here's what I understand. That comes from Kris Kindle, right? Christ Child. My name is Christ Child, which I don't know that it is. Is it? Really? Yes, I'm an elderly man. My name is Baby Jesus. So I don't know. That's confusing. I think that's probably not as real as now. You're Saint Nicholas, probably. You're more likely a medieval saint than you are Baby Jesus with a red hat on. Doesn't make any sense. Are you Catalan? No. The hat, I don't get. Oh, bless you, though. People want to play Santa, want to give gifts. Whatever gives the gift, a little tiny baby or an old man, never anybody in between. Isn't that funny? There's never a middle-aged fella go, I am the giver of gifts. No, you're not. I bet not. I bet you're either selling the cut-up trees or something, bless your heart. Oh, it's the innocence. It's we like the weakness on the end. The giving is a submissive act, so have babies and old people do it. Oh, yes. Oh, and everybody else, like the late comedian said, we will receive. Oh, yes, we will receive. And we did, and there's always gifts for me under the tree. And did it change when my grandfather passed away? Yes, because then any time that my grandmother wanted to buy any kind of sort of masculine gifts, like this one to hold your cigarettes, but I'm 13. Okay, well, just keep it. Something like that, or something for the den, then I would receive it. Because I was the man of the house, but I wasn't a man. I was a child. And still, Christmas to me was about the smells. And if we didn't get a real tree, if we're going to have an artificial tree, then the least you could do is buy some sort of spray that made it smell like pine. And so my grandmother would, and she would spray the house. And so we'll have something that's reminiscent of what you smelled. All right. And I bet we could do that for vampires. And so we can't get you a real body, but here's some sort of spray smells like dried blood. Oh, good enough. I love it. We don't know what kind of smells give people pleasure. The dog. Oh, if there was a spray that made a kind of environment my dog loves, nobody else could stomach it. There's no one. There's no one. The dog likes odors, is fond of odors that no one else would be attracted to, and they wouldn't make good air sprays or plug-ins or whatever.
Is that what I think it is?
Oh, the olfactory. I got one of those as a kid. Now, that's a Play-Doh factory. The olfactory means your nose. Yeah, I got one as a kid. No. It just means your sense of smell and everything. I got one as a kid. Yes, we all did. We were all born with one. Perhaps some of us maybe do not have a sense of smell and lose it. And they'll say, oh, I can't smell that apple pie that I see a picture of on my grandmother's sideboard next to that tree that she had decorated. Now, I don't have to look at the year of the tree. If it's a real tree, my grandfather's alive. If the tree is dead, my grandfather is dead. Years later, you know, I had a chance of getting real trees. I might have one time in an apartment. I might have put one in a corner. So I'm going to go get one. And you have a lonely Christmas. And you put a tree. So I'm going to decorate it now. And you look around for ideas. And you say, well, I got paper plates. And I will just stick a paper plate, a branch, through the middle of each paper plate. And I should really decorate them. But whatever. And if I drink enough and blur my eyes, who knows? They'll look like big white lights on there. Some people put lights on their Christmas tree. I'm going to decorate it with lights, make it light up like an actual tree, shimmering in the dawn's light. It's got ice all over it. Did you ever see a tree like that, cake with ice? If I do, I panic because it means the branches are going to start breaking and falling on my neighbor's fence, and she's going to come over here hollering, you didn't get your pine tree trimmed. I'm sorry. Oh, its limbs are breaking off. I'm glad it isn't a giant friend. Hardy, come on out. What is it, giant friend who lives in the backyard? My arm broke off in the cold. Oh, I would have you in, but you can't live in a house because look at you, 80 feet tall. I know. Oh, I wish we weren't friends. And then you wouldn't have to experience the heartbreak of my loss. After Christmas, people really do get that kind of feeling. So, oh, I was in love with all the decorations and the trees. I loved celebrating the outside, inside. I loved bringing it in, especially when it's cold out. I forget about growing things. So, again, I kill one, and I bring it in, and let's kill some flowers, too, or get some imported from another country dead. Oh, Hardy, you're saying it's wrong to kill things. No, I'm just pointing out. How fun. I'm just, you know, I'm not saying I don't do it, but it's dead, and sometimes it's alive, so it's going to die anyway, so bring it on in the tree. If you're waiting for it to get elderly, if we brought in skeletal trees with no pine needles on them anymore, just like a skeleton, that'd be fine too. Tree skeletons, then there'd be a reason to decorate them. I'd do that with a real person too. I would put, the eyes are perfect for your best ornaments. Stick them in there, and you can see the little hummel. And where you'd have your iris is a little picture of a cherub. And the caption, Merry Holiday. But you don't see that one too much. Oh, I want, you know, oh, you know, this is a holy time of the year for one religion. Two at the most. Well, no, really, just three. Three or four. I don't know. No, I don't think it is. I think maybe just one. But, you know, if you're in a culture where that's what they celebrate. Now, if we were in a culture, say, oh, no ruse. No ruse is a big holiday. So I can't, oh, I'm craving apples or something like that. Rosh Hashanah. I'm craving apples. Funny, apple, a lot of apple holidays. Now that I'm thinking about it. You'll see that. Oh, the apple. I'm not craving apples right now. That's a good name, though. If I was going to change my name, I'd change it to that. So I'm going to put that on the back burner. With what's on the back burner? What are you cooking for Christmas Eve? Oh, I got some mind gravy. And I used the drippings or memories. And then, what's the cornstarch? The cornstarch are, not glial cells. What do I want to say? Anyway, I'm getting too chemical in there. The mind is not just a chemical soup. Is it? Is it a soup? Could you make a mind with a recipe?
And it looks like soup now, but I'm going to run through electricity through it, and it's going to be a living brain. How will we know that the soup is sentient? You don't, but it's very exotic when you're eating it. So what are you eating? Is it ordinary soup? No. This soup is actually a living, a mind. And I'm consuming years of memories. And go, oh, that's actually pretty horrible. No, it's wonderfully decadent. Look at me. Look at that. Consciousness, experience. Souls are my sustenance. I'm drinking it like it's soup. Don't tell me what that pie is made out of. I don't know what the pie is made out of. I look at the tree, though, and I can read it like a palm. You go to somebody's house and you can. So, can I see your Christmas tree? They go, well, A, Jewish. So, no. B, why do you ask even? So, well, if you had one, I'd want to look at it because I'd want to look at all the Christmas ornaments, see what they say about you. So, let's go to somebody else's house. All right. Knock, knock, knock. Hello, come on in. Do you want to see my Christmas tree? Yes, I want to see what it says about you. All right, come on in. Well, some of them I don't want you to see because I belong to a lot of secret societies. And for some reason, they give out Christmas ornaments with our name blazoned on the side. Secret society. And then they have them personalized. So there's only one thing that identifies me as a member of a secret society. And it, thank goodness, it's made of fragile glass. And it's a globe. And it hangs by a frail wire on a tree. And it's going to fall. One of them's going to fall off. That's how we would play games like that. We would say all the children would have their name on a Christmas ornament. And we'd hang it on the tree. And we'd say, whoever falls off, we hunt them down like an animal. You start running. And that would be a game we would play as a children. And now there's just one ball on the tree with my name now. All the rest are gone. How about that? It's funny how things break. Now, as an only child, so it was just for me. It looked, do you want Christmas or not? Yeah, I guess so. We're doing it for you because we've lost the joy. It's been ripped out of it for us. Why is that? My grandmother never got over my grandfather dying, and maybe he liked Christmas and she liked Christmas because of him. I don't remember, but I think I still got a lot of gifts. People like to give children things to make up for losses. Here, what is that? It's to make up for, it's a toy. That'll make up for the loss of a person. Oh, that's a heck of a toy. How does that? I bet that won't work. And then it does. Oh, my goodness. Magically. It depends on the toy. If it's very expensive and mechanized, yes. If it's a radio that gets all sorts of shortwave broadcasts, then yes. And that's what I received as a gift one year. I didn't know I wanted it. But my mother knew I wanted it. And she said, I'm going to work extra and at night to get money to get this radio from a radio place, radio cabin, radio mummy cabin. I don't want to say the real name of the place, but that's the equivalent. I'm going to go there and there's a radio that gets all sorts, not just AM and FM and PM and all. It gets shortwave. It gets shortwave 2. It gets the one where they just say the numbers in Spanish. It gets all of that. You can hear talking from around the world. Super radio. This is before the internet or anything. And this was a receiver that would receive anything. It was magical. The dial was magical. It would move you around the globe. I don't know if it really worked. But I would hear shortwave conversations. I would hear people talking. And we went to Las Vegas. And I'll tell you what, the buffet they have is enormous. They have cantaloupe. They have honeydew. Now, I'm not a big honeydew fan, but and they go on and on like that, and they go over or something. But they ramble a letter. It was beautiful to eavesdrop into other people's lives. And then we stayed in this room, and everything smelled like lavender. And I felt like a king. I'm learning to play the organ. It's nothing better than to listen to other people's lives. Yes, that's awful. I'm glad I'm not him. No, that's not what you think. You think that person's just like me. aren't they? Oh, that's universal stories. Now, we may not have all grown up with a Christmas tree in the house, or some of us may have grown up with many, many Christmas trees all over the house because our parents sold them or something. We're in the Christmas business, and we have a store called Christmas Year Round. Oh, my goodness. Would it lose its specialness, like having a Halloween store? I'm just not scared of anything anymore. I just know everything smells like pine and cookies. So Christmas is meaningless to me. It isn't special anymore. I have to go. It's changed the way I think about life. And I have to go places. I go to this place. I get my legs scraped up with sandpaper or something just to feel bad. So that I can come back and say, oh, Christmas is better than getting your legs sandpapered. And it is in many cultures. Oh, we didn't have too many traditions. And we didn't put lights on our trees. And I'll tell you why we didn't put lights on our trees. And that's because in the early days, and this is mainly in Nordic countries where it didn't matter if your house burned down, they'd put actual candles on the trees. And they still let you do this in the Netherlands, where there's no rules. So you can be high on anything and put candles all over your trees, burn down your whole block. They say, whatever, go for it, because it's the Yule. What's a Yule? I'm not going to make any puns or anything like that. I don't want to do that. Oh, my goodness. Like a, hey, Grandpa, Wassel, pun on that. Just give me a minute, I'll work it out. He's going to pun on it. Grandpa's going to come up with a pun. I'm working it out. He's anything. He loves Christmas puns. They got pedals, guitar pedals, wall pedals, and they're selling them at a discount at wassail. Oh, very good, Grandpa. Thank you. You're welcome. Go back to whatever you were doing. Oh, I tell you what, we come up with all sorts of things to do on Christmas. Now, a lot of people have to forced to go out to restaurants, and the cliche is that you go out to a Chinese restaurant, that's all that's open. That's the cliche. It's also weirdly the reality of it. For some people, not all, who go out of restaurants. Sometimes I go out, and I go to this restaurant that's run by extremely religious people, Christians. Christians call Christmas the Christmas restaurant. No, the Christmas restaurant's not open on Christmas. Don't be silly. It must be for some people. Say, oh, my whole business revolves around that. In fact, it's the only day of the year I am open, Christmas restaurant. Come on down. It feels great, the spirit. I guess soup kitchens are like that. Say, we're going to be open today because people are hungry. And of course, people are just hungry on Christmas. That's what I always do. I'll go down there and do a Christmas meals on, you know, in cars, and deliver something. I'm thinking, I'm glad that my three meals that I've delivered today takes care of the hunger problem. I tell myself that. No, I tell you, it feels good to just serve a little bit, and it makes you want to do some more. You say, well, I think I like this giving thing. I'm going to dress up like Santa. No, don't dress up like Santa. All right, I won't. But can I dress up like somebody? Deadpool. I'm going to dress up like Deadpool, and I'm going to go give gifts to elderly people. No. Okay. So I know about the sword carrying thing. I found that out the hard way. What I thought open carry meant anything. No. Not samurai swords. All right. But they don't know. Well, they can tell you're not a good guy or a bad guy. Pick another character. Can I tell you what? Can I have a gun? If they got open carry, why do I have to paint my squirt gun orange? I don't understand that. Say, oh, yeah, but if it's a squirt gun, then it could get you in real trouble. Oh, Christmas. Do you smell it? I do smell it. I can smell it coming. It smells like fireplace. It smells like pine. I was out the tree store the other day, and I was just browsing like you would at a mortuary. And I was walking around looking at these trees, bound up like Isaac. Say, what has Abraham done to this tree? I've bound it. We're going to sacrifice it. I didn't say to sacrifice it. I said, go decorate it. Like, why'd you kill it first? I misunderstood. Okay. Oh, leave it in the ground and dance around it. That's what I'm going to do this year. I did a stupid thing. Somebody had done that, planted a Christmas tree in the backyard instead of killing it. And I tried to move it last year because it was in a dumb place. And I said, I'll move it. And I never take a big enough root ball, which is the kind of drug I take before I do any gardening. No, I never dig a big enough hole, and I killed it. I killed the tree. And it died slowly. I replanted it. I thought it was great. I watered it, and I just watched it die slowly over the next few months. And I thought, wow, I killed it. I didn't even know the minute I killed it. Look at that. Mucking with it. I felt a little bad like that for a little while. But then I put things in perspective. But, you know, it's all right to feel bad, a little bad about things. You know, sometimes you feel bad about too many little things, Hardy. I got room. I'm all right. I can feel bad about a lot and not break. It's all right. I can feel compassion for something and not have. It's like solar power. You know, the solar panels don't suck up all the sun. I can feel for somebody without having it wreck me or destroy me or whatever. I can feel for, you know, say, oh, I believe that little creature is suffering, and I can deal with it without being destroyed by it. I'm comfortable with shades of gray because my father used to paint prisons, and he'd come home all covered with gray paint and lean up against the wall, and we thought he wasn't there. No, he wasn't there. I'm kidding. But that's one of the fantasies I had. Maybe my daddy's just invisible. And he's gray, and he's standing in front of the gray wall. No, maybe he's a superhero who's invisible. No, that's not it. He's just kind of superhero, but not to you. Bless your heart. Oh, all right. Can I get more presents under the tree? Absolutely, get more presents. Oh, is that a little fabric partridge I see? Oh, there's a couple. Oh, you've put a few little partridges in there. When did you get those? Oh, and look at the ones that are, those were your grandmother's or something, weren't they? Those are really old. Those are from the 20s. I bet they're dangerous. Look, they look like it once put something in, like acid in them or something, and they did something. Yes, they would steam. You would put, the old ones were made of, not uranium. What's the other one that's even worse? Something, they're plutonium. And they would glow in the dark, though. That's so, people are so wimpy now. My goodness. Oh, the things that hang on our tree. Are there clear pill containers with cotton? And then a gold, a little plastic gold cherub? And then more cotton? And then the top of the pill container screwed on, painted gold? Before the days of childproof caps, back when they didn't care if the child got at the drugs. Here, could you open my pills for me and go buy me cigarettes? And then we could make ornaments out. Now all the pills come in bottles that aren't clear. They're all smoky. Nothing's clear anymore. You can't see the little angel in the pill bottle because it's not clear. Take that out of it. That's that out of context will make more sense. No, it won't. Oh, bless you. I try to be profound because I know when we're looking at something like this together on Christmas, there's a lot of feelings going through our heads, and it's peaceful. It's a peaceful time. Maybe we're sitting around the pie. I don't know what you got in the middle of you. Your whole family's sitting around. Something's in the middle. Something's brought you together. Cards or some kind of food. I don't know what it is. Ouija board? You say, who is this, Santa Claus? No, get out. No, I'm kidding. It's Santa. Something like that. I don't know what activities. Playing Rook. Playing Parcheesi. I'm just going to name all the games now. No, don't. There's nothing worse than being a single child, getting a board game on Christmas and having nobody want to play. You want to play? No, not really. Oh, Lord. You want to? No. All right. I'm just going to look at my board game. Maybe when I have Company over? Yeah, when you have company over to play. They'll play with me, though. Oh, absolutely. Wait till you have company. And so the games would pile up because you have friends over, and they go, I don't know if I want to play Life. Come on, please. I literally had games that I never even opened because I had no one to play. Oh, you must have been a lonely child. No, not lonely. I wasn't ever lonely. But I was alone a lot. I learned to keep myself company using a TV. I know that's cheating. That's probably cheating. I'd still use my imagination. I imagine that this is my TV. No, it was my TV. I had a TV in my bedroom. It was a small black and white TV. And it also, I got things on it that weren't even broadcast on TV. It would work as a sort of monitor of people's dreams. I could see into their heads and other people's dreams. And it's so funny how many people's dreams are exactly like late night shows hosted by former radio personalities and showing Three Stooges and cartoons and horror movies. It's weird, but that's mainly what people dream. And that's why people like Freud and Edmund Freud, in one of them, was able to write books and say, if you dream, this is what this is. This is, if you dream, there's a couple, oh, I'm eating two, there's two cantaloupes on the table. And that's someone's bottom, really. But you're thinking, oh, it's two cantaloupes with the rind off of them, smushed up together like that. No, it's a butt, you silly, you're dreaming that. What? Oh, well, what else? Well, if you dream of that you're spitting out your teeth, get up and check, because sometimes you've cracked your teeth and you're spitting pieces out. Or maybe you feel like a failure. Who knows? Do we all feel like a failure? Anybody? Can I get you a failure? If a failure's a pastry and I'm going out to the bakery that makes them, then yes, you feel like a failure. Get one. Get one with me. Otherwise, don't. There's no reason. You know what you are? You're that tree. No, no, you're not the tree. You're that bow on the... No, you're not the bow on the tree. You're that present under... No, you're not the present under the tree. Your little plastic elf hanging from the tree? No? You are the thing on top of the tree? What is it? Is that a star? I don't know, man. It looks like a weapon. The thing we had on top of our tree, I guess it was a star with one very spiky thing. It was a supernova star, which is probably what the star Bethlehem was doing. It was an exploding star. And what you can hear are the screams of dying distant planets. You just, oh, man, that lights the way for me. We don't think about that. It's like Horton Hears a Who or something. Every time you turn on a light switch, you could kill a whole solar system of people, a whole culture dies. But oh, if a little light, a little more light in the desert, should bring your own. Bring a torch, save a whole galaxy. And so the wise men got the tree. They brought a tree, which I think they did, because one of the things they brought, either frankincense or myrrh, is pine sap. We all love it. The original incense is pine sap, is dried hunks of pine. You go, man, that does smell good. Everybody associated that with being a very holy smell. Say, wow, I like that. Let's burn your tree down. It smelled, the whole, you know, will perish, but the smell will be divine. And it's so funny. Why is that? Maybe the pine has given us life over the years. Say, thank you, pine. I mean, I love you, but oh, I'm going to burn you. Oh, you burn so well. I have to burn you outside because you'll ruin my chimney. That's all right. Burn oak, even though it would make better furniture. I know, it's so crazy. I've taken to burning either peat. Yeah, he's not cool with it. Or what else can I burn for fuel? I guess cow dung I've been using too. People don't like that. That's not a selling point for a house. And we have a beautiful cow dung furnace. And you just, what you get, the guy brings you the cow manure every month, and you just load it in there, and he goes, is there an odor? You know, everything has an odor, friend. You know, it's just what you get used to. Oh, I hope you are used to my smell. I hope I smell like pine and cookies. Oh, we have such smells on holidays, like soup made out of thoughts. Oh, I like to bake things from cinnamon. I add some ginger for spice, and I like some mace. On ice, don't put it on ice. I don't know what would happen. You'd trip, maybe. Nutmeg and mace and all, I guess it has some hallucinogenic quality. I've known people try to, we're going to eat as much as possible. Oh, then you'll get sick and see demons. What's the point? You can do that just on some of the holiday foods. I get my gravy right now. You're going to see something when you eat it. I don't know what. A little later, you're going to, I'm a dying lion in the wilderness. I really have felt bad like that, having too much pleasure. And it's usually associated with food. Things look so good. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to eat the entire turkey. So every Christmas, my grandfather would say, I like turkey. Who doesn't say that? But, and then we'd have one. That's my only memory. Nothing special about the food. I don't remember getting excited about anything. We were very, very low-key people. So save your excitement for some other time. We're going to sit in quietness. That's fine. I like that. Shh, don't raise your voices. Put the Christmas carols on very low. I don't want to just sing in a really subdued voice if you're going to sing. I said, what about lifting joyous voices to the, it was a rough night. And so we're going to keep the joyous noises to a minimum. And then we're going to have a cheese, egg, sausage casserole. And that's going to hit the spot. And then we're going to go back to bed. Oh, but right now on Christmas Eve, the night is full of promise. Will someone bring us presents? Will we be able to give? Are they going to like the thing we made them? We did some knitting, and it ended up just being scraps, but we included some instructions about how to sew them together and make interesting things out of them. You can do anything with knitted squares, and that's what I gave. People are going to think, they're very small placemats. No. Just put them together. You could make a quilt or a lap cover. I don't know when you're going to be, if you're in a wheelchair or a chair a lot, you might want just a lap warming cover. I don't know what you need, friends. So I try to give you something that you can put together yourself. Are the batteries included? The batteries are always included. The batteries are your wishes and hopes. Don't stop lying to him, Hardy. Just stop it. I didn't get any batteries. I don't want the child to be disappointed. Oh, they would tell me all sorts of things. As a child, we go over to my great-grandmother's house on those Christmases, and all her family would be there, all her sisters. I'd go with them, my great-aunts or something. And I had one, Aunt Alice. Oh, she's so sweet. Old lady be sitting there at the kitchen with her. And Aunt Alice, we'd be talking. And you know how sometimes you are talking to somebody on the phone and their phone cuts out and you don't realize it and you just keep talking and it's a few seconds before you realize that they're not even there. That's why they're not answering. Well, that would happen to my aunt, but in person, because she had diabetes, and so she'd zone out. And I didn't know what it was at the time. And they said, Aunt Alice is having a spell. But they never let me in on it. Aunt Alice, she's okay? She's all right. And Uncle Victor take her into the bathroom and give her a shot of insulin in her, something like that. But she'd be gone. And they never tell me. See, my family, the strategy was, we'll lie to children, we'll tell them whatever is convenient for us, and then at some point we'll correct all that. And then what happens is, I don't know whether they forget to write themselves a reminder note or what, but they don't get around to correcting it. And you're left with all sorts of mysteries and lies. I believed in Santa Claus for a while when I was young. Say, did you? Yeah, it made sense that somebody came and visited me. I felt special. It's easy to convince a child that they're special in the universe. So very few children are going to say, but what about all the other children in the world? That's a special old soul or something. That wasn't me. I was like, oh, I perfectly understand that. Yes, a saint is bringing me presents. I'm special, but what can I say? I totally believe it. That's not hard to believe. Because my family made me feel special. So why wouldn't the whole universe feel that? And so we would leave cookies out for Santa and some milk and a cigar, which I always found strange. Oh, Santa smokes? Yeah. The Santa in Miracle on 34th Street hits people. He's violent. He is, actually. That's a very punchy, slappy Santa. Isn't that funny? I wouldn't think he'd be like that. Yeah, that Santa knows Kung Fu. Kris Kringle, Kung Fu you. Yeah. But I guess so my grandfather would smoke the cigar. He wouldn't smoke at all. I mean, we'd come out and he'd go, man, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. It smells like a blunt from the Christmas tree with the cigar together is what it smells like. But I wouldn't know that at the time I'd come out. Oh, Santa must have smoked a little of the cigar. And it wasn't a nice cigar or anything. And he'd eat some of the cookies. My grandfather didn't eat very much. He was skinny, one of them skinny fellas. I'd rather drink my lunch. And that would be evidence. And then there would be Christmas presents there. And you'd feel that joy. Say, this is magic. Look at this beautiful tree appeared out of nowhere. It didn't really. So when you light the Shabbos candles, did you ever see a lady lighting the Shabbos candles? So what are you talking about now? So there are Jewish people listening, believe it or not. And people of all faiths and no faiths listening right now. Oh, really? Yes. So I'm going to say something beautiful about light. So these candles, so you light the candles to commemorate the beginning of Shabbos, of the Sabbath. But you see, you can't do any work on the Sabbath like lighting candles. So you got to pretend that you didn't light them. So you light them. It's not the Sabbath yet. You cover your eyes. You say the blessing. Then you take your hands away and you go, oh, they're magically lit. I'll just pretend they weren't there before. Oh, the light can be revealed if you cover your eyes for a bit. Close your eyes for a minute and then they'll readjust. When you look at a bright light, so I can't see anything, close your eyes for a bit. Then you open them up and you can see the light again. Oh, close your eyes for a bit. Just close your eyes and think. When pirates would wear a patch over one eye, sometimes they do that so that they would preserve some night vision. So if they were fighting below decks, they could shift that patch over the other eye and have an eye that could see in the dark. Oh, it's good to have that sensitivity and to keep it. And you keep it by closing your eyes. So you could close your eyes and, sometimes you say, oh, people say, let us pray. And I said, well, maybe I don't want to pray, but I'll tell you what, while everybody's praying, I'm going to close my eyes and use that as cover. So everybody else is doing so, I'm going to close my eyes. I don't mind closing my eyes for a while. And I'll think whatever I want. I have an imagination. Oh, and my eyes are closed. The things that I can think. I can imagine all sorts of worlds and things going on. Use it. Stretch that imagination. Try to visualize things. And when you do, you can visualize the consequences of things. What will happen if I tip over that Christmas tree? What will happen? And if you use your imagination, you can improve your predictive abilities. And if you can improve your predictive abilities, you can get people great gifts. And you can give great gifts in this life and be a gift giver. Now I know what you're thinking. You say, oh, listen to that story that Hardy just told about that. No, I didn't tell any story. Yes, you didn't, did you? No, I did. I told a story, but you can't quite make a movie out of it, can you? Yeah, we just have your grandmother crying and then a Christmas tree and then maybe mummies. I know. It would make a better, like, odd cartoon or something. But yeah, boy, it can't be. I can't tell one of those in a row kind of stories. Because when I see something, like a Christmas tree, or I have a memory, or it's a time like Christmas Eve, Not just one thing comes back to me. Everything comes back to me. It floods back to me. It flies by like in Wizard of Oz when all those things are flying by in the cyclone. Old lady on a bike. Christmas tree. Grandfather smoking a cigar. Cookies. They're all flying by my head. It's like I'm falling in the rabbit hole in the White Rabbit story. And everything is whizzing by me. So it's no story. It's nothing in a row. It's just a wonderful flood of senses and weird sights. And I can delight in them. And I can feel joy just being a living creature. And then we can share it together and drink wassail, which is sounds repulsive to me. Cream and ale. Mulled ale and cream and nutmeg and eggs and everything. I don't know. It might be your thing. And bless you. Now I'll drink an eggnog. So I guess I'm lying to you. But really anything. If there's certain boozes, I feel like you could put bourbon in anything. And it's a cocktail. Now, the pine tar and bourbon thing, I don't know. That might not be something that goes together. Not everything is food. Some things, some things are food for things that aren't mouths. I just thought of that. I'm going to get that on a mug. I'm having a heck of a time. I found I can put things on mugs, and I'm putting everything on mugs now. Get it printed. Everything I have a thought. Or just a reminder. It's like, take the dog out or something. I'll just put it on a mug. And you want to get the kind, though, where the message is facing you. Otherwise, it's very bad. If the message is not facing you, you forget, and you'll never know it. And every time you drink, you won't even know what you said to yourself in the past. Oh, that's true about every time you drink. Oh, my friends, all of you are like bows tied to my Christmas tree. All of you are the garland. Again, we don't know what that is. Tinsel I can see, because I've seen ice doing that sort of thing. But I've never seen ropes of it outside of my magical ice kingdom in my mind, where ice can bend. But that's a technology that we have not developed on this earth. Oh, no, my friends, everything you see has come to be. And you can make it different with your mind. Close your eyes. Imagine a different world. Now make it good. Now make it real. Imagine a bad world. Stay there. Have a play in it or something. You know what I mean? Like it's a video game. Run around in it. Keep it to yourself. That's what I tried to do. When I have my, and I know the difference. I just don't want to hurt anybody. That's what it comes down to me. I just don't. I really don't. And if we're taking a vote, I vote no to hurting people. I vote no. So I don't know about y'all, but it feels ugly to me. I can get along with a lot of people. I don't know what's wrong with you. Keep your temper. This is a time of peace. Look around right now. This is peaceful. Peaceful people love this time. Because you say, you know what? Regardless of your beliefs, I can get behind peace. And I know it's not universally popular. Or else it wouldn't just be a one-day-a-year thing. You say, oh, even today, I feel like fighting somebody for electronics. No, no, no. No, no, no. Look at the still thing. Maybe it's good to look at something that's already dead, but that hasn't died. Maybe it's good to look at that tree. Maybe it's good to smell pine blood like that. Maybe that's good. That's a good reminder. Maybe it's an exquisite, beautiful memento mori, that tree. Maybe that tree is there to anchor memories, to be a staple between life and death. To keep them hooked up, you know, so I don't lose anybody into the past, that they stay with me. That I drag them along like these antique Christmas ornaments. I keep them with me. Oh, they're fragile. Oh, they're fragile. Will they last forever? No. But I'm going to keep bringing them from house to house every time I move. This one was my great-grandmother's. This is my great-grandmother's. And it's made of glass, and it's lasted this long. I'm dragging it with me. I'm going to take these memories with me for what they're worth. I can pass some of them on to you, some of them. They'll all break eventually, won't they?
I'll make a new one, Hardy.
Will you?
Yep.
You know what I'm going to do? What? I'm going to try to recreate that pill bottle ornament that you described. Are you really? Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, that's sweet. Where are you going to find clear bottles? They sell them on the thing.
Oh? I'm glad they do. I can't believe we spent Christmas Eve together. This is magical. I don't want it to end.
But if it's going to end, you know what? I've had a little bit to drink. Let's make wassail. I don't know how we're going to do it. Mulled ale. First of all, I don't know where we get that. I don't know what we'll do. We'll just have regular ale. Use the icky ale in the fridge that nobody's going to drink, the pumpkin one. And then we'll mix that with cream and egg. I'm already feeling sick. That's probably a bad idea. And nutmeg. Put lots of nutmeg in, then we won't remember. Oh, I'll remember this always, my friends, that you were listening to Miracle Nutrition. That's what this is. For me, it's Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Did I not mention that? And you know what? I got a Christmas gift for you. What's your Christmas gift? Well, the show? Is that okay? I feel like an idiot. I didn't think to bring anything. I thought, well, I'll just go and show up. It's Christmas Eve. They're probably just sitting around. I didn't know it was a big deal. So, I'm sorry. I hope this is enough. I just wanted to tell you about my Christmas memories. I just wanted to tell you about how I feel about trees and the smell of trees. Pine and the smell of pine. I wanted to talk about that. About red bows and grandmas and surprise. Oh, friends, what have you been listening to?
I've been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White.
Have you really? I've been listening to that, too. How often do you listen?
I listen every week, every Thursday.
Oh, that's fun. So do I. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're alone this week, Hardy. Yeah, well, everybody wanted to be home with their families. I don't blame them. I'm not going to drag them down here to this recording. Bless their hearts. And think about all the people. And then think about them all the time. So thank you for listening. This is Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in blessed Rockland County. Oh, where Christmas began. It was 1898. The newly formed Rockland County was turned into a giant Christmas tree farm. People from all over the world would come there to get their Christmas trees. A man by the name of Rockland County owned the largest Christmas tree lot called Rockland County Christmas Trees. Get your Rockland County Christmas trees. Rockland County, what? Oh, I wasn't calling you. Sorry, I thought you were. No, boss, go back to work. Rockland County spent his days counting money and smelling pine. I will make a fortune off these Christmas trees that I sell, that I made up, because it's not really any kind of mythology, Norse mythology. In fact, I got into every single library in the world, and I inserted a little bit in there and says, here's a pagan practice that was... None of this happened. None of that happened. So don't listen to any kind of Christmas story you hear this year without verifying it. Trust but verify with all Christmas gifts before you open them. Say that to whoever's giving it to you. Go, I'd like to open this. Trust but verify. So you're going to open it for me, just in case. Oh, bless you, friends. I can't tell you how many of you have given me the ultimate gift, and that is your time and your ears and your friendship. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Have a merry, merry Christmas from Hardy White.
I was standing. I was standing at the crossroads, and I thought I did. Do you know somehow I could not understand Jesus?
And I want y'all to remember that Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And I want y'all to remember this song, too, and don't never forget it. Jesus' birthday, the month that Jesus was born in. You bigger girls should remember it and sing it. Just hand it, sing it to the little ones, yeah? 1 month was Jesus born in. Last morning, yeah. 1 month was Jesus born in. Last morning, yeah. Ooh, Lord, you got January, February, March, oh, Lord. You got April, May, and June, Lord. Got the July, August, September, October, and November. You got 25th day of December. It's the last month in the year. I'm talking about Mary's baby. Last month in the year. I'm talking about Mary's baby. Last month in the year. Ooh, Lord, you got January, February, March, oh Lord. You got April, May, and June, Lord. Got the July, August, September, October, and November. You got 25th day of December. It's the last month in the year. He was born in an ox or manger. Last month in the year. He was born in an ox or manger. Last month in the year. Ooh, Lord, you got January, February, March, oh, Lord. You got April, May, and June, Lord. You got July, August, September, October, and November. You got 25th day of December. It's the last month in the year.
Ooh, we now. Every family ought to have a family prayer. Tell me now,
what you gonna do?
Please tell me
for Christmas.
Ooh, we now,
what you gonna do?
Please pray
for Christmas Day.
Heard somebody say,
I'm in a town boy.
Of December. Tell me now,
what you gonna do?
Ooh, me now,
for Christmas.
Please tell me,
what you gonna do?
Ooh, me now,
for Christmas Day.
Heard somebody say,
I've been a child of
be here. Tell me now,
what you gonna do?
Ooh, me now,
for Christmas.
Please tell me more,
what you gonna do?
Ooh, me now,
for Christmas Day.
happy on that Christmas morning. Oh, that's the day our Savior was born. Tell me,
was it?